It is my great pleasure to introduce these two folks to you. This is Max and Jenna Schaafsma. The big news, they've been married for a whopping 2 months. A little over 2 months. Great. That's the big news. Amen. Max is a third-generation missionary. His grandparents are Sam and Joan Fiore. His parents are Michael and Nina Schaafsma. With Sam and Joan, Michael and Nina, now Max and Jenna are all RBC-supported missionaries serving in the city of Milan, Italy. And God has used this family to start two churches. Last year, Michael Green led a worship team to Milan to co-labor with this brother and his family. Max has been serving as a full-time missionary for 4 years. And I've asked them to share about their ministry, and then Max is going to open the word to us and share a message. So with that, let's give them a RBC welcome. Thanks.
Well, good morning, everyone. We're super excited to be here all the way from Italy to be able to enjoy a Sunday with Reston. And we're so thankful for how the Lord is working here, how he's using you, but also how you're following him and serving him through Reston. And we really, for generations, we've been appreciating being partners with Reston Bible Church, and it's been truly a blessing for us, but also for the church in Italy. And so Jen and I will be moving back to Italy on Tuesday, so we're super excited. We haven't been there back yet since we've gotten married, but we're looking forward to going there, settling down, and serving the Lord for who knows how long. We plan on being there the rest of our lives, but just like it's when you follow the Lord, you have to always be ready to go where he calls. So we think he's calling us there until we die, but he may call us somewhere else, and we'll go there. So, so we really love serving in our church. This is what our church looks like. It's a small community. It's about 70 people, but 70 people who are excited to walk in Christ's light, to shine his light. That's kind of one of our mottos at our church. Our church is called Punto Luce, which means point of light. And we really see various ways to be a light to our community, to share Christ's love with those around us, because it has changed our lives, and we really believe that everybody should hear about the good news of Christ's salvation. One of the things that we've done in the last few years to expand our opportunities to share the gospel with people is partner with the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association with festivals. They used to be called Crusades, but BGA determined that that's not the best term to use anymore, so we call them festivals now. And there have been two in Italy the last 2 years. And this last one in the fall was in Rome. And it was incredible. I got to partner with them in organizing it. It was really exciting. And 18,000 people came in 2 nights. So it was really amazing. Thousands of people came. Hundreds of people gave their life to Christ. But in all of that, there was hundreds of strangers. There was a ton of people who I didn't know. So this one was in Rome, but we live in Milan. It's about 6 hour drive, 3 hour train ride, 1 hour flight away. And so every week I'd go and do preparations for the festival, find best ways to connect with churches. But I really sought to connect with one guy in particular. I thought to myself, who can I specifically witness to? And since I didn't know anybody in Rome, I thought I witnessed to the gardener of our office. And so every day after work, I'd walk out, I'd hang out with Gaudenzio, and I would say, hey, how's work going? And like, oh, the bushes look great. And we'd do small talk and just chat and chat. And every day after work, we chat a little bit more, and then we chat a little bit more, and conversations got longer. We talked about, I got to talk to him about what it means to follow Jesus. And we just kept having conversations, kept being friends. And the week before the festival, I was like, okay, this is the time Gaudenzio's going to give his life to the Lord. And so I said, Gaudenzio, the festival is coming. Are you going to come? And he said, yeah, I'll be there Sunday. And I was like, wow. Like, I was kind of surprised, actually. There's a lot of people I invite. They're like, oh, yeah, maybe I'll make it. But he was like, I'm coming Sunday. So I was like, wow, praise the Lord. And so Saturday night happened. It was an amazing night. A lot of people came, and the Lord did some really amazing things. And Sunday night started. And so people are coming in. We're organizing things, welcoming people. And, like, I didn't see Gaudenzio. I didn't hear from him. And I was like, okay, well, Lord's timing. He'll figure something out. And so then the worship concert happens, and Franklin Graham starts to get up to share the gospel. And I'm like, oh, well, who knows what the Lord's going to do? And the Lord was moving right away. My phone rang, and so I answered it, and it was Gaudenzio. And he said, Max, they won't let me in. I don't have a ticket. And so I ran outside and I was like, oh, I'll get you a ticket. I'll be right there. So I ran out, gave him a ticket, brought him in, sat him down real close. And honestly, like, it was after the concert, halfway through, like, Franklin Graham's message. I was like, man, he's going to come to this big arena and just sit to a guy talk. And, like, he's going to be like, oh, this is so boring. And so, but the Lord works more than we think, right? And so the Franklin Graham gave his message. He gave an invitation. So these are all the people who come forward. Because Franklin Graham says, if you want to follow Jesus, come down and we're going to pray with you. And so people came down and I was standing behind Gaudencio. Like, I'm glad people don't have eyes on the back of their head, because I was like really behind him, like praying and like, get up, get up, get up, get up. And like, but he didn't get up. And so I was like, oh, all right, Lord, well, you'll keep working. And so I had to get up and go do some other things. And eventually I was down on the floor helping people. And I saw this. So you might not recognize him, but that's Gaudencio in the middle with the white shirt. And so I was like, no, wait. So I took a picture because I was to share it with my teammates and stuff. And I went to him and I was like, Gaudencio, this is so cool. And he was glowing. It was so cool. He was smiling. He's like, hey, this is so exciting. And so we prayed together. And he had also prayed with another sister there. And I said to her, like, oh, what did Gaudencio pray for? And she said, he prayed to accept the Lord. And so I was so encouraged, like, wow, the Lord is working. He's touched the life of my friend through the festival. And it was great. Jen and I met with him the next day to read the Bible. And at the end, he's like, oh, like, we should do this with my wife, too. And so the next day we read, it was the four of us, we read together. And he's plugged into a church. And we're so excited for how the Lord has used such a big event to change the life of individuals, including my friend Gaudencio. And so among the many things that the Lord has done in the fall, the Lord has brought Jenna. So she started her move to Italy as a missionary, and she's going to tell us a little bit what that looked like for her.
Yeah. So I'm from Alaska, and I didn't come from a missionary family, but I did come from a strong Christian family. So I am blessed with that. And just through that and through growing up and going to Sunday school and hearing from missionaries coming back, the Lord just put a very steady call and passion in my heart to go overseas and do ministry, full-time ministry overseas. And then the last few years through college and internships, he's given me a lot of direction. He's been very faithful in answering those prayers of, okay, Lord, I'm going to follow you in this way, but I don't know where and I don't know how. But he's been very faithful. So if that's any encouragement to you, he's faithful in his sovereignty and in his timing. But so I was able to go last fall as like the move part one, and I was able to start language school. So that's a big thing that I need to focus on at the beginning, is learning Italian so that I can be more more useful in ministry.
She is very useful in English also, but
yeah. But so this is just a picture of my language school class, and even that, I realized that even that is a very unique opportunity. So, you know, I mean, we're coming to class, a bunch of people from all over, and we're wanting to learn Italian, but we're in this classroom for 3 hours every day together, and so we get to know each other, and language learning is some serious bonding. And so we talk, and so it's a good space to be very clear and upfront about why I'm in Italy and how I'm going to be working with a evangelical church there, and I love the Lord, and just, you can tell differences in people's lives. So that's been exciting, and these are two of my special friends that I made. So that's Rachel and Shilpa. They're from the Philippines and from India. And they're just two that I bonded with right away, and so we've developed a friendship, and I'm excited to see how the Lord continues to work in that friendship. And so you can be praying for Rachel and Shilpa. They've already been asking really exciting questions about, like, you know, it's like, oh, what are you doing tonight? Oh, I'm doing, we have Bible study with our youth group tonight at our church. Oh, what's Bible study like? How do you do that? What, like... And so, anyways, they've been asking really exciting questions. So I'm excited to maybe, I don't know, see where the Lord takes them. And then also just, this is another example of, no, you're good. learning the culture. So it's a whole new culture for me. So you can be praying for my Italian language learning and my cultural adjustment. So this is me learning how to make pesto because they're very good at making pasta. And my family didn't really make much pasta growing up. But so that's just a small example. But the church, we love to just have any excuse to invite people to different gatherings, different, you know, summer parties, block parties. This was Thanksgiving. So Thanksgiving, Italians love food, but American Thanksgiving is like a foreign concept completely, and it's a very intriguing. And so we, and the whole church actually, it's a joint effort. We make a huge Thanksgiving feast, and it's super fun. And the church, everybody invites their friends. And so it was super fun to see how many people were there in our church, and we were just able to share about why we're thankful to the Lord and what we believe about Jesus. And yeah. And so that's an example. This was a picture. We're super thankful for your guys' support in prayers and sending teams. Last year was really exciting. I actually wasn't there at the time that the team came, but I heard about all the stories. And Max was super excited to tell me, like, while it was happening, oh, they did a concert by our church, and they did line dancing. And so it was really encouraging for us to have you guys send your people and to witness to our people. And Italians love music, so that was a great way to connect and share the love of Jesus in that way. This is just another example, a short little story of just using any excuse to have a party. So we had a fall fest at our house, and so we invited friends and had friends invite friends. And anyways, so at this party, one of the young ladies in our church, Susanna, she was bold and shared about Jesus and what she believes to one of Max's brother's med school friends. And so it was just, they had just met and they were just getting to know each other. And she shared about Jesus and about our church. And ever since then, so this was last fall, ever since then, he's been coming to Bible studies and to church, and he's been coming to the different church events. And so that's been super exciting. So his name is Pierre, and you can be praying for Pierre because we're very excited to see what the Lord has for him coming up. And then, yeah, so we do Bible studies, and we do different things, different types of Bible studies throughout the week. Max and I both have a huge heart for youth. So in the future, we'll continue to do things with our church. It's a small church, so everybody kind of does anything and everything. But we especially love youth. And so Max started the youth group like 5 years ago. But now I'm on the team, so now we have both a male and a female leader, and we're just excited to see how the Lord uses that. For example, now we're able, like this summer, we're hoping to do maybe some camping retreats. So that'll be fun, and just have that extra time with our youth to be able to pour into them and build those relationships and just delight in the Lord together. And then we also love sports. So that's another passion in common that the Lord has given us. So we're excited to grow the sports ministry. Recently, our church has just stepped into like a official sponsorship partnership with the handball club. So I don't know if you know Team Handball. It's more of a European thing. I had never known about it before. But Max has played it for like his whole life. So yeah, so we're stepping into a partnership. So that allows us to have like team dinners and talk, like do talks about personal development and team development, but also hopefully we can be very clear about who Jesus is and what we believe at our church, and we're excited to see what the Lord does through that. So these are a few things you can be praying for in the upcoming years.
Yeah, so we hope that you have got the opportunity to learn a little bit about what Reston Bible Church is helping happen in Italy, helping the Lord move in the city of Milan. And so we're so thankful for that. We're so thankful for your prayers. We send out quarterly newsletters, so if you want to receive those and continue to be updated about what the Lord's doing, hear about more how youth group has grown, how a peer accepted the Lord, we're praying that for the future. Just go ahead and send us an email at mjschaffsma@seedsports.org, and we'll write back to you. We'd love to connect with you and help you learn more about Italy. And so after the service, we'll be in the back. We'd love to chat with you and hear about how the Lord's working in your life. And if you want to come serve the Lord in Italy with us, we have a spare bedroom, so we can make it happen. But let's pray before we go look at the word of the Lord today. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this opportunity that we have to be with Reston Bible Church and be able to be part of the legacy of missions that this church has had for so many years. We thank you for how the church has been part of what we've been doing in Italy. It's such a blessing to see the heart of RBC for missions that touched my friends. And we know that, Lord, you are using Reston Bible Church to touch so many people all across the globe. And Lord, we pray that today as we study your word, we will learn and that we will be touched in our hearts as well. In Jesus' name, amen. So, why would a girl from Alaska move all the way across the world to go to Italy? I mean, I can think of a few good reasons, like the food's pretty nice and it's a little warmer. But that's not why Jenna moved to Italy. Jenna felt a call from the Lord to follow him. And the way the call started was with her receiving the good news. The good news of Jesus came and touched her life, and her life has been transformed forever. And that is what changes us. And so today we're going to look at the good news to the world. If we look at Jesus' life, he had an incredible time here. He served so many people. He touched people's lives. He healed people. He literally changed the world around him. And as he was on the earth to do his mission, he did not leave us without a purpose. When he finished his mission, accomplished what he was supposed to do on the earth, he gave his disciples a new mission. And we can find this in Mark 16, verse 15. So at the end of the ministry, he's about to go back into heaven to be at the right side of the Father. And he says to his disciples, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone." This is something that has touched my life. And every day I'm reminded of this. Wow, I need to preach the good news. And so today we're going to look at what the good news is. So maybe you're here for the first time and you've never heard the good news. But let me tell you, the good news is for you. So maybe you're like, well, what's this good news? Well, first, there's bad news. Now, the bad news is that God created this perfect universe. He created us, like, so unique, so creative. We have all these different parts in our body that all work together. But as humans, we have decided to reject God. From the very beginning of history, from the beginning of each of our lives as children, we've sinned. And sin basically means doing something that's not to God's standard. So that could be basically, I guess it's categorized as anything that's not loving God and anything that's not loving your neighbor. So as a little kid, you're a baby and your mom says, "Here, have lunch," and you throw it off the high chair. That's sin. And yeah, it's a big sin, if you ask me. But like lying or cheating or being rude to somebody who doesn't deserve it, or even being rude to somebody who does deserve it. I mean, I would assume that not many of us have done this, but killing is also a sin. And just, yeah, there are so many sins, so many things that separate us from God. That is the real bad news that we're all destined to. But there is good news, and the good news is for you. And we find this good news in the Bible in John chapter 3, verse 16. Jesus is on his earth, he's the beginning of his ministry, and people are asking him, "What are you doing? What are you here for?" And Jesus says, "For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God has sent his Son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him." The good news is that no matter what you've done, no matter the depth of sins, of horrible things you've done in your life that separate you from God, God loves you and he wants to forgive you. That is the good news for you. When I was a little kid, I was about 4.5 years old. We were at my uncle's house in Geneva, Switzerland. It was Christmas Eve. And we were talking about Christmas, right? And the birth of Jesus, the birth of our Savior. And as a little kid, I was interested, man, Dad, what is this all about? And so Dad explained to me the human condition of us being sinners and the need of a Savior, the need of someone to forgive our sins and give us eternal life. And so as a little kid, I prayed to receive Christ in my life, and my life has never been the same since. My life is secure, and I have eternal life in Christ. And that is something that you can have today. If this is the first time that you realize, oh my goodness, I am a sinner. I am so far from God. Today, you can come to God. And it's simple. All you have to do is believe in your heart and say, Lord, I know I have sinned. Please forgive me of my sins. Thank you for dying the cross in my place and giving me eternal life. And if that's something that you believe for the first time today, I want you to find somebody after church. It can be me or Tony or Bruce or anybody who's wearing a lanyard. I'm sure they would be happy to help you learn more about what it means to receive Christ, to receive the good news that is for you. While Jesus was on the earth, though, he came to bring good news to each one of us, but really, the good news is for everyone. So it's not just for the Hebrew. It's not just for the Gentile. It's not just for the American. It's not just for the Italians. It's not for Democrats or Republicans. It's not for rich or poor. It's not for healthy or sick. It's for everyone. Everyone has to receive the good news. And Jesus talks about it so much. The passage that we read earlier, go into the world and bring, to all the world and bring the good news to everyone. Right, again, Jesus talks about, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And another time, Jesus also says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses, telling about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, through Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. The good news is for everyone. The heart of God is that everybody hears about how much he loves them and how much he wants to save them from their sin. And it's great. Like, nobody can escape his love. His love is for everyone. There's this verse in Romans, though, that gives us a challenge. Because if this news is for everyone, well, how's everyone going to hear it? So if you turn with me to Romans chapter 10, verse 14 and 15. So Paul is talking to the people in Rome. So we're pretty excited in Italy that we have a book of the Bible dedicated to us. There's no book of the Americans, but there's a book of Romans. So well, it's a blessing, let me tell you. But no, this book is also for the Americans. So, but yeah, so in chapter 10, verse 14 and 15, it says, but how can they call on him, that is Jesus, to be saved unless they believe in him? How can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? See, this good news is for everyone, but someone has to tell them. Someone has to share the good news with everybody, all people groups, whether it be, it can be your neighbor, it can be your coworker, your boss, the tribe that you saw a documentary on National Geographic, Olympic athletes, the coworker on your Zoom call who lives on the other side of the world. Everybody needs to hear the good news. But who's going to tell them? How are they going to hear? And I am amazed by God's heart that he created us and he wants us to be part of this good news proclamation. In fact, the good news has been entrusted to you. In the Old Testament, we see that God, like in the book of Exodus, he talks to the people of Israel, and he leads them through a pillar of fire by day and a pillar of cloud by night. And we see many times that God speaks to prophets. But God nowadays, after the coming of Christ, decides to use you and I to share the good news with people. in the book of Thessalonians. So 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 1 through 4. This is actually one of Jenna's favorite verses. I think it's great. And if you want to remember it, it's 1 Thessalonians 1, 2, 4. So you double each number every time. So that's a memory trick for this reference. But 1 Thessalonians 1, 2 through 4, 1 and 4, it says, "You yourselves know, dear brothers and sisters, that our visit to you was not a failure. You know how badly we had been treated in Philippi just before we came and how much we suffered there. Yet our God gave us the courage to declare the good news to you boldly in spite of great opposition. So you can see we are not preaching in any deceit or impure motives or trickery. And here it is. For we speak as messengers who have been approved by God to be entrusted with the good news." God has chosen us to tell about the good news to everyone in the world. Everyone in the world is going to hear about the good news. You are the perfect messenger to share the good news. And the fact of the matter is that you are so perfect that the good news is personal. So I'm not saying that the message changes, right? So Jesus died on the cross to forgive our sins, rose to life to give us eternal life. That is always the same. But the message is delivered, that is personal. That is different and unique for each one of us. And one of the ways that I see God using the uniqueness of our background, of our CV, to share the gospel is when he calls his first disciples to follow him. So let's go to Mark chapter 1. And this is the time that Jesus is beginning his ministry. And in God's plan, and his sovereign plan, he decided that he was going to have a certain amount of followers that were going to be really close students of his, his disciples. And through them, he was going to proclaim the good news into Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. And so in Mark 1, we see the first call of the disciples. It's Peter and Andrew, their brothers, and they're fishermen. That's their career. And so they're out, they're doing their job, they're fishing, and Jesus talks to them. And Jesus, so Mark chapter 1, verse 17, Jesus calls out to them and says, "Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people." God is looking at their life and looking at their skill and their trade, and he says, "I'm going to use that, those skill set that you've acquired, to proclaim the good news." And so maybe you, I don't know, maybe you're a really good artist, or maybe you're just great at crunching data. That's your job. Maybe you love going for walks with your dog. Maybe you like going on hikes. Maybe you like baking classes. Whatever passion that you have, that God has given it to you for a purpose. And the purpose is so that we use our passions and skills to proclaim the good news in a unique way to a unique subset of people. So I have, like Jenna mentioned earlier, I've had a passion for handball since I was a really young kid. And I am not the best person to share the gospel with people who have a passion for crocheting. Right? I know nothing about crocheting. I think it's the one that has like the two long sticks, but I could be wrong. But I know handball, right? So God has given me a passion for handball, and I really love being, I love playing handball, I love teaching handball, I love being with handball players, I like talking about handball. My social media feed is all handball. Like, I just love handball. And so God has given me the unique opportunity to share the good news in the world of handball. From a young age, I was already following Jesus, and I was playing handball, and I thought to myself, man, how can I use handball to tell people about Jesus? And so as an inexperienced sports Christian athlete, I looked at TV, and there was people sharing the good news like on a shirt, and so I thought, that's a great idea, I'll do the same. So after every game, I'd take off my jersey, and I had a shirt underneath that had a different gospel message. So sometimes it's, Jesus loves you, or I belong to Jesus, or God wins even when you lose. No, I'm just kidding. I never had that one. So different ways to stir conversations with people and think about how can I share the good news with them. And so as I was playing, there was one of my friends, Gabriele. He was curious, and he's like, okay, like, what's this Jesus thing? And so we became friends, and I invited him to youth group, and we were hanging out, and he just kept coming to youth group and the church. And one night we had a special youth event that was outreach focused. And the guest speaker, he was from a missions team, actually. He shared the good news, right? He shared about salvation in Christ. And he listened. We were all there. And after the message, I went to Gabriele and I said, "Hey, Gabriele, like, what'd you think?" And so we talked a little bit more about it, about what it really meant to give your life to Christ. And that night, Gabriele gave his life to Christ. He realized that he was a sinner, and he realized that he needed Jesus to forgive him. And so we prayed together, and Gabriele is a good friend. He's part of our church. He's got married, has two daughters. But I was able to speak to him because of my passions and my skill set. And God can use you to speak to a certain group of people because of your passions and skill set. So, once we got the good news to the world, right? The good news is for you. The good news is for everyone. The good news is entrusted to you. And the good news is personal. And so what are we going to do now? Right? We hear about this good news. And I think there are ultimately two options of what we can do. The first option is that today you get up and you leave. You go sit in your car, and there's a lot of cars backed up, so you should have come to the 9:30 service. And you're sitting there, and nothing changes, right? Your life is totally the same. Or your life can be different. Or what you can do is you can go and bring the good news to the world. And so that can look like a lot of different things, all right? So one of it can be, maybe you are in school and you have a classmate who's really struggling with math and you happen to be really good at math and actually a little bit nerdy about it. You can help them, right? Because Jesus wants to help people. And in your way of helping them, you can help them learn more about Jesus. Or maybe you have a neighbor that you don't have a garage, so you don't pull into your house right away. You park in your driveway. And when you get out and you see your neighbor, you chat to them for a few minutes more than you would have normally. And the next time you chat another minute longer, and you chat another minute longer, you get to know them, learn about their kids. And as you build a relationship, by the end of next week, you can invite them to the Good Friday service or the Easter service. And then they come and hear the good news. Or you can go radical, right? Maybe the Lord is calling you today to bring the good news to the world as a full-time missionary. Maybe he's calling you as a part-time missionary or a short-term missionary. So I would encourage all of you to go to the interest meetings, to all sign up for the missions trip. And I really want you, this is a challenge, give Tony a really hard time for who to pick to send because you all apply. All right, Tony's going to have to look through so many emails to pick who's going to go. And maybe you all go, right? But go serve the Lord. And so maybe today's your first call to go serve him on a short term, but maybe he's calling you to serve him long-term. One of the verses that really stuck with me and kind of got me on this path of being a full-time missionary was in Acts 13:47. And so this is every time I get a new Bible, I go and underline this verse because I think it's great. And so you should do the same. But this verse says, "For the Lord gave us this command when he said, 'I have made you a light to the Gentiles, that you may bring my salvation to the farthest corners of the earth.'" God wants us to be a light for the good news. And God wants us to go to the farthest corners of the earth. And so I like to think that Reston is the farthest corner of the earth for me, right? I live in Italy. Reston's pretty far. And he has chosen you guys to minister here. But maybe he's calling you to go to your furthest corner of the earth. And maybe God will change your life and send you who knows where. So God is calling people to go to him. There was a verse in the video earlier, the harvest is plentiful and the workers are few. And brothers and sisters, let me tell you, the workers really are few. There is so much work to be done. Like if all of you came to Italy and partnered with our church as full-time missionaries, there would still be more work to do. So many people are hungry for Jesus, and they don't even know it. And someone has to tell them. Somebody has to bring them the message of the good news. The book of Isaiah is a prophet, and he wants to bring the message of the Lord. And as he's beginning at the early part of the book, in Isaiah chapter 6, verses 8, God is looking for somebody to be his messenger of the good news. He says, then I heard the Lord saying, whom will I send as a messenger to this people? Who will go for us? And Isaiah is ready. Isaiah, his heart has been touched by who God is. And he says, here I am, send me. People all over the world need to hear the good news. But like we read in Romans, how are they going to hear unless someone tells them? Maybe God is calling you today. And maybe you're willing to say, here I am, send me. And so it's interesting in life, learning about Jenna's story and her testimony. When she felt called to serve the Lord full time, she didn't know where. And for like 99% of the calls, it's going to be like that, right? The Lord isn't going to say to you, I mean, maybe he did. Maybe he said to you today, oh, I really want you to go to Chad and build a life there and serve me. But maybe he's just saying, follow me and be my messenger. And that's all he's telling you right now. But that's good. When he calls us, we need to answer. And so if you feel like the Lord is calling you and you feel like you're ready to give your life to Christ and be his messenger of the good news to the world, wherever it may be, you don't have to know where yet, I want you to come talk to me. You can talk to Pastor Tony. If you're online, you can email missions@restinbible.org. And we will be glad to help you find out what are the next steps to learn, okay, Lord, where am I going to follow you? Where am I going to bring the good news? But somebody's got to do it. And so all of us brothers and sisters, I encourage us to go boldly and give our lives fully to God and bring his salvation to the furthest corners of the earth. There's one last thing I want to say about this, right? So God's calling you. You're ready to answer, and it's a little scary. You don't know what the next step is. But don't worry. Jesus has got your back. So in Matthew 28, we read part of this verse earlier, right, where Jesus is calling his disciples to preach the good news. Jesus says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age. Brothers and sisters, if you are faithful to answer God's call to go bring the good news to the world, wherever it may be, he is with you always. That has been a comfort for me in my life, knowing that Jesus is always with me. And brothers and sisters, Jesus is always with you. So let us go boldly and decide to follow Jesus and bring salvation to the ends of the earth, knowing that he is with us always. And let us go and bring the good news to the world. Dear God, we thank you so much for the good news that you have given us. We thank you that you sent your son Jesus to come to this earth, die on the cross and forgive our sins, and give us eternal life. And Lord, I pray that as we are trying to follow you, as we are seeking to answer your call, that if there's anybody here that you are calling today, Lord, that they may boldly choose to follow you, that they may boldly choose to bring the good news to any part of the earth, wherever it may be. And we are so thankful, Lord, that you are with us always, that you are guiding us, that you lead every step of our way. And we pray, Lord, with our true heart, a sincere heart, Lord, use us to be your messengers to bring your good news to the ends of the earth.